for Wednesday, February 4th. We've got three bills for public hearing, possible work session, and a bill scheduled for work session today. And with that, I'll put a public hearing on Senate Bill 142. Mr. Stembridge.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 142 prohibits the practice of photogrammetric mapping without registration with the Oregon State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying. That agency is known as OSBEALS. Authorizes OSBEALS to issue registration without examination to an individual who holds a substantially equivalent certification from another state or country, and it requires photogrammetrists to sign and stamp final documents, including seal authorized by OSBEALS.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, we have a trio from OSBEALS, so why don't we come on up, and I'll let you figure out who's testifying here and who's playing shotgun.
Thank you, Senator Metzger, members of the committee. Senate Bill 142...
State your name, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dan Lynchide, County Surveyor, Yamhill County. Senate Bill 142 is basically a housekeeping bill that relates to photogrammetry in large part, with a few other little things thrown in that are basically housekeeping also. When we adopted Senate Bill, when the legislature adopted Senate Bill 55 in 2005, we had some unintended consequences, even though we worked closely with the legislative council and with the assistant attorney general assigned to the board. However, we failed to put in there that when a photogrammetry professional finishes his work and has a map or aerial photography or whatever they generate, they have to affix their signature and seal to it, and we didn't put that on there. Also, there's no sanctions in the law, and so we can't sanction if they were to do something really bad. And so that's about it, except that it also defines the practice of photogrammetry, and it goes ahead and prohibits anybody from performing those duties without having that license. 672-180 is another one of the little housekeeping things we had. People who wanted to retire their license early. Maybe they got wealthy at 30, I don't know, but they wanted to retire their license early and still be able to reactivate it later. And the only in the statute is limited. You had to be 65 to do that. So that was apparently some kind of a constitutional issue too. And then 672-190 required if you'd have to have a fire or something disastrous happen, theft, to your wall certificate for your licensure for an engineer, land surveyor, or photogrammetrist in order to request from the board a new one. And so this just gets rid of that entirely. And then sections 19 through 31, I believe those came out of legislative council. Yes, those are really housekeeping. They insert the word license in front of the words engineer and land surveyor or surveyor with registered. They just take out the word license and put registered in there, and then they, in 11 cases, place the word land in front of surveyor. So I'm just making it consistent throughout those statutes. I think there's like 10 or so statutes that are affected by that. So with that, that's it, and that's why I support that bill.
Okay, and are you there for support and questions, or do you have other testimony? Questions for the committee?
Pretty straightforward.
I met with the folks before. I don't know if some of you had an opportunity to do so. If there's no questions, then what I'm going to do is close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 142. Mm-hmm. Who wants to be vice chair today?
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 142 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator George has moved Senate Bill 142 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay. Any objection? So ordered. Senator Schrader, you haven't carried a bill yet. So,
thank you. After today, I'm not sure I want to go there.
So, I'm sure you understand photo mapping.
I would ask you cordially to please contact my office, because I'm going to have you brief me, because I know what's going to be in store for me with this bill. So, and I mean that, actually.
she means it. Okay, open up public hearing on Senate Bill 143. Mr. Stembridge.
Chairman Metzger, members of the committee, Senate Bill 143 removes the exemption from engineering registration for engineering done on residences and small commercial buildings when the engineering is done by a registered engineer.
Okay. And Mr. Davis, you got this one?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Grant Davis. I'm a structural engineer in private practice, and I'm also a board member with OSBEALS. And why we're here on this one is basically the statute, when it was passed to allow competent contractors and home designers and building designers to do single-family homes and small commercial buildings. And the way the statute was written, it included the word persons. Persons are exempt from the statutes that we took out in that particular section of all the engineering statutes, basically, so that these people did not have to be registered engineers to do houses in small commercial buildings. The unintended consequence was that by putting the word persons in there, it also exempted registered engineers. And so we've had some law enforcement cases where some registered engineers in other fields were doing extensive homes and small commercial buildings, and they weren't really competent. And we found out going through the law enforcement process that they were exempt from our processes, and we had no power basically to go after them and revoke their license or whatever. So our reason for changing the statute is to exempt engineers from the exemption, basically to put them back in the game. If they do houses or small commercial buildings, they should still be held to the standards of the engineering registration requirements. So that's what we're asking for.
Okay. So if I understand this right, with the change that was made, what you're saying is that, and this is obviously a gross example, but just as an example, you could have a traffic engineer who has an engineer for traffic now inadvertently exempted from having to actually be a structural engineer for building a large commercial building, or because they were, quote, an engineer.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, we've had cases where people go out looking for engineers for design of these expensive homes, and people have held themselves out as professional engineers, which they are. They're registered engineers in another field where they've never taken a class in timber design or concrete design or anything like that. It's related to buildings, and they were hired and did the work, and very incompetently. We had then requests from the cities and county jurisdictions saying, basically, these guys are bad actors and we need to do something about it. They came to us, and we found out that we were powerless to do anything about it because they were exempted by the statute the way it was written. So we want to fix that loophole is what we're here to do.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Davis. Is there questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator George.
So I'm sorry I didn't brief myself more. I thought this was a different type of bill. But let me walk through. A lot of engineers, because I know a lot of engineers, are very competent in all kinds of different engineering things. It's the way the mind works, and they're good at doing those things.
Absolutely.
Would all of them have to take classes if you had an engineer who was perhaps outside of his field but was very good and could assist you and you could pay him to be a consultant on something? If he didn't take classes in that field, then they wouldn't be allowed to work on that project?
No.
How would that work?
Yeah. Good question. The way it's written right now, if you're competent, you can cross over fields. You don't even necessarily have to be educated in that particular field if you're competent. But what this statute does, basically, if you look at the fine details of it, there's a series of statutes in 672. There's a bunch of them. And it's basically all the engineering statutes to deal with ethics, being professional about what you do, standing behind what you do, having to stamp what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all those statutes were taken out with this, the way it's written right now, for registered engineers. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
So it basically took away all of our power to go after them if, in fact, they were not competent to do it. We're not saying you have to be a registered structural engineer to do a house. But if you're an engineer, you need to follow the engineering canons and ethics to do that.
To do all, excuse me.
And basically, the way the statute's written now, they're exempt from that, and we can't even go after them.
Oh, okay. So I could follow up. So in their field, they have to follow all of those activities. But if they step outside their field and do engineering work, then they're exempted. So what you're saying is you don't care that they step outside their field and do work. It's just that if they start doing faulty work, you need to be able to have enforcement authority.
Bingo. Right. And they need to stand behind their work.
Okay.
I wrote you an email, and it was just sort of a cartoonish story about
right,
you know, what can happen. It's almost unbelievable the way it reads.
Gotcha.
But that's the way it is right now, and that's actually taken from a real case. I changed a couple of facts. But
to protect the innocent.
Exactly. Yeah.
One quick pop.
Yeah.
So this does not stop somebody who's an engineer from working in different fields.
Absolutely not.
As long as they're willing to stand behind their work and are under your review.
If they're engineers, they need to act professionally and be professional in their work.
Okay.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Is there other questions? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 143 and open a work session on Senate Bill 143.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 143 to the floor with a due recommendation, with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved Senate Bill 143 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Any objection? It's ordered. Senator George, would you carry that? Thank you. Okay, let's open up public hearing now on Senate Bill 144, and guess who's going to do this one? Ms. Lopez.
It authorizes Oregon State Board of Engineers for examiners for engineering and land surveying to use national organization standardized exams in evaluating applicant qualifications.
Thank you.
Chair Metzger. I'm Mari Lopez. I'm the Executive Secretary for OSBIL. Senate Bill 144 proposes language that gives OSBIL the clear statutory authority to issue a certificate of registration to an individual based on equivalent qualifications but without a prior registration in another jurisdiction. For an example, there are situations such in California, which requires the individual to successfully pass additional questions beyond those contained in the national standardized examinations. However, in Oregon, that additional exam is not necessary in the state of Oregon, so they meet all the other work qualifications and the examination, so there's no reason not to register them in the state of Oregon. So it's just a statutory authority that we're seeking so that we can register these individuals.
And we have been doing it that way,
so there is no fiscal impact.
Okay. So, again, to kind of reiterate what you said, so that the state like California, which has an extra requirement, if they don't pass that extra requirement, that you can't register them here in Oregon, even though...
Well, they're not assigned a registration number in the state of California, so
right.
They're not designated as a professional engineer.
Right. So, correct. And so, but now they can do that in Oregon because you don't have...
You don't have
that extra barrier for being able to register here in Oregon.
Right.
All right. Okay. I understand that. Questions? Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the bill, because I don't have the attached statutes, it goes through a series of requirements, which are pay a required fee, have a work record of 4 years or more of active practice engineering work satisfactory to the board. Is that a copy of what currently applies to engineers in state?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions? Okay. Close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 144.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 144 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator George has moved Senate Bill 144 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Any objection? Sure. Senator George, I'm just going to ask you if you would carry that so we can back-to-back and make it a little easier. Okay, now let's open a work session on Senate Bill 136. Colleagues, we heard this bill regarding... People licensed by the OLCC to move their relicensure from a 5-year to a 3-year so that they could make sure that licensees are up to date on any regulations or changes in OLCC law. We also heard testimony on that regarding that the fees would not go up, they would just be prorated. So that was the background, but I'm going to ask our representative from the, Mr. McNeil from the licensing OLCC to come forward and anyone else.
And you have this.
And we now have a fiscal analysis, which is a minimal expenditure impact. And we have no amendments, correct?
Correct.
No amendments to this bill. Okay, so we're here simply for any additional questions since the last time. I think we're good to go on this, but I wanted to make sure the committee had a chance to, if there's any other questions you might have.
Mr. Chair, there's no additional fee to the actual applicant, correct?
Well, I think let's say that on the record again.
For the record, my name's Dan McNeil. I'm the statewide licensing manager for the OLCC. As far as the educational component, we're going to be able to prorate that fee. In addition to the educational piece, there is a $10 application fee. I don't think statutorily we have the ability to prorate that fee at this time. So a person would pay the $10 fee instead of at a 5-year increment, they'd be paying that $10 every 3 years. So there could be some increased cost to people that are in the business long term. That's in some ways mitigated by the fact that a number of people get into the business and they only apply for the service permit once, and they're out of the industry before their renewal term comes up. So overall, somebody may face an additional $10 fee for a service permit application. For our licensees, which are our licensed business owners, restaurants, taverns, and bars, or even wineries that serve alcohol on the premises that are subject to this requirement, they pay a straight $2.60 a year. So those licensed business owners would not see any change in their fee.
So I make sure I understand. The only change to the workers, the person pouring the alcohol, if over a 10-year period, rather than paying once at initial, once at 5 years, and having 10 years, there would be an additional $10 over the 10 years. Every 3 years, basically in their ninth year, they'd have to pay an additional, or, yeah, they'd have, 6 years, they'd have to pay an additional $10.
Chair and Senator George, that's correct for OLCC fees. I do want to make sure that you're clear, too, that they do pay a charge for the education. Now, the education is done by private providers that are certified by OLCC. Those private providers actually set their own fee. So if you took the class, if you had to take the class three times in that period instead of two times, you'd pay for an additional education class.
Mr. Chairman, how much is the average of that class?
Those classes run between about $25 and $40, depending on which provider is giving that. Those classes are available as an in-person class where you actually attend a classroom. They also are available on the Internet as well.
Mr. Conklin, you want to come forward? I know this is a work session, but you had sent us an email afterwards, so I want to give you an opportunity to come forward and comment on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Gary Conkling. I represent the Oregon Wine Growers Association. First off, I want to apologize to you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. I didn't have my instructions during the hearing. Otherwise, I would have signed up to testify. I also express my regrets to the agency, with whom we work very well, and I didn't want to blindside them either. Prior to the session, at an industry partnership meeting, members of my organization expressed some concern that without a stronger showing of why the change, they really felt that this was just an increased amount of hassle that some people have to go through renewing every 3 years instead of every five. No more than that, we just didn't necessarily see the value of this particular change, though again we respect the context in which it's proposed and that it's not intended to be a revenue raiser, but we might have some concern that it could be down the line. But in any case, the main thing is just the hassle of doing it every 3 years instead of every five.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Conklin? Yes, Senator.
I don't mean to mince words. So, Mr. Conklin, your organization is opposed to the measure, the way it's drafted.
Mr. Chair, Senator George, opposed would probably be the wrong word. I'm not sure we see the need for it.
Okay. Any other questions? Senator Berger.
Well, I'd like, just so you can reiterate on the record in response as to why you brought it from 5 years to 3 years, even though you have already told us before, I think it would be appropriate to do so.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, we proposed this. This actually came out of our Public Policy Partners Subcommittee. It's a group that OLCC meets with and includes both people on the public safety side and also licensees, alcohol server providers. And this concept was brought up by them. Their belief is that more frequent education will lead to better compliance with the law and really help public safety. And they felt that by moving that from the current 5 years to 3 years, it's just that repetition of the education at an earlier level would help people as far as getting the laws ingrained and complying with the laws. We also, from OLCC standpoint, support this because we believe that the change will also help people keep current on changes in the laws. Right now, it's potential that somebody could go from their first class to the time they take a renewal class up to 7 years. This changes it to a uniform 3 years. During that current period of time, either 5 or 7 years, there's a lot of changes that happen in the law, and we don't have a great mechanism for getting those words out to our servers, and so this is another chance for us to update them on things that have changed in the law as well.
I just have a question with that. So essentially, it's a liability issue as well, that if someone wasn't aware because they are in the midst of term with it. Not required to have the continuing education. If the law changed, that wouldn't change their liability.
Mr. Chair, Senator Schrader, as far as their liability, it's a chance to educate people on changes in the law and to make sure that they have the most up-to-date information that they can. It wouldn't change their liability. As in anything, ignorance of the law isn't an excuse. Right. You know, there are other means to get the word out there. But certainly having that chance to be updated on the laws makes it less likely that they would find themselves violating the law inadvertently.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Just for the record, he's not in here. I did talk to Mr. Perry from the Oregon Restaurant Association, who told me he had no objections to moving forward with the bill. So I just wanted to put that on the record, and if he's out there, he can come on in. But I do believe that for the little quote hassle of you know, having to either take a class either online or whatever every 3 years is a good idea. Mm-hmm. To make sure that everyone is up to date and limit that liability, and I think that would be a positive thing to do. So if not, I'm going to close the we are in work session right now. Senator Berger, could I get a motion from you?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 136 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Berger has moved Senate Bill 136 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Okay, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator George.
No.
Senator Schrader.
No.
Senator Berger.
Aye.
Do you want me to?
Vice Chair Starr.
Change, please.
Excuse.
Chair Metzger.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Senator George.
I change my vote from a nay to an aye to get to the floor, but I reserve the right to vote against the bill when it gets to the floor.
Okay.
Senator Schrader.
I'd like to do the same thing to get it to the floor, but others reserve the right to.
Okay, so we would have four aye votes.
If I could.
Two no.
If I could vote no, I'd prefer to vote no.
All right. Bill, I'll carry the bill, or Senator Starwell, but I'll probably carry it. Okay. Mr. Stenberg, you want to tell us about tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Transportation Day. We've been trying to put transportation measures on Thursday agenda, so we have three from the Department of Aviation tomorrow. We have work sessions on four additional bills that are mostly business bills that you have heard in the past 2 weeks.
Okay, so you have that copy of that, colleague, so we have a few more on there, but hopefully we can move through that. We don't know how long the testimony will be on the aviation, but and if you have any questions on that, you know, it'd be good to circle around with some of the folks. All right, thank you. We got done. We're adjourned.